Church, it is great to see you today. Thank you so much for being here with us. And if you're not able to be with us, thank you for being tuned in with us today. We are so blessed at Azalea City with so many, and I said this in Bible class, that are able to just talk and speak and lead singing and read Scripture. I mean, aren't all these men doing a great job coming up here and reading these long scriptures? Our young men are doing a great job. What a blessing it is. And so, because we are so blessed with so many that are able to speak and do things like that, Jeff May, who is over our education for our adults here, he has gone to several different men and requested of them that they, on Wednesday night, speak on an attribute of God, and he's allowed them to pick, or probably maybe even assigned them an attribute for God as we continue to unpack how great and amazing and awesome our God is this year. David Newberry kicked it off Wednesday night with a very prepared lesson on the sovereignty of God. You know, we ought to fill that fellowship hall up every Wednesday night. Not just to be hearing men, that is part of it, but because it's God. But these men are putting in a lot of effort, a lot of stuff. I know what it takes to go into a lesson, and I do this every week. And I know the preparation it takes to put in, and especially I know of one that's here, and I will not call his name, but I have seen his notes. They're all highlighted in different colors. The hours one of our Bible teachers puts into being able to teach our classes, it just humbles me and it touches me. So Wednesday night, you heard that it's going to be Taylor, and Taylor is a phenomenal speaker, does a great job, and he's shaking his head at me out there. He didn't come in to hear me, but I'll come and hear him Wednesday, but no, I'm sure he's taking care of a child. But all that to say, come and hear Taylor, and then Fred Hicks is going to speak, and there's just a lot of great opportunities. And so there's been a lot of work put in to come up with attributes and to distribute them. Let's be here. Let's be here Wednesday night and fill this place up. You know why it's hard for people to get up and do certain things? Because of fear. Now listen. I do not want you to take from this that if you do not get up and speak or teach a Bible class or teach a child's class or teach a ladies' class or anything like that, I don't want you to think that I'm talking that you're just afraid and sinners, okay? We all have different talents. It's not something that we're all given. But a lot of times people who may have the talent to get up and speak, there's a lot of fear. You know, I remember at 16 years old, the very first lesson that I gave in this building, I can't tell you the times I had practiced that sermon and, you know, I had it memorized word for word. My brother Toby had heard it, pretty much helped me write that sermon, and, you know, he had heard it. And he put a lot of work into it, and I remember standing up here still with a lot of fear. There are times I still get butterflies, and I've done this for, you know, taught one way or another at this congregation for 25 years now, and I still get it. Fear is something that can affect all of us. But listen, we all at time get afraid. Hear me out on this. You know, there is a difference between being fearful of something and having a spirit of fear. Okay, that's what Paul said to Timothy. God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know, if a rattlesnake came out right now, we would all hear some screams, and, you know, not just from women either, right? From children, from men, from all of us, if it just slithered its way down this aisle. And, you know, because we'd be afraid of that. There'd be some fear in that. But we're not going to not ever go out of our house again because we saw one snake. That would be a spirit of fear. If it paralyzed us, if it treated us, if it caused us to not ever do anything, that's what that would be, a spirit of fear. So being afraid of something and then allowing it to conquer you are two different things. And so what I want to talk about today is overcoming fear. The reason I want to do that is because I think some are afraid to approach God. You see, it is an awesome thought to be in the presence of God. Can you imagine that first, we're going to call it day, but it will be eternity then, but that first day in eternity in heaven, or that first moment we walk into the throne room of God? I mean, it's awe-inspiring, right? That's why he told the psalmist that all creation should stand in awe of him. But if we're going to truly behold our God, there is going to be a fear that we have, but that fear is not a spirit of fear. That fear is respect. That fear is reverence. That fear is standing in awe of him. I do want us to understand, though, Satan wants us to believe that we should be afraid of God. Satan is the one where this spirit of fear comes into play. You see, Satan does not want us to stand or live or worship or do anything in the presence of God. He wants us to stay away. He wants us to stay afraid. He wants us to live in a constant panic. He wants us to give up glory because he is most miserable and he knows his destination. He knows where he will ultimately be, and that's in hell. And so misery loves company, right? And so he wants us to be there with him, not because he wants to love and support us, but because he hates God that much. But here's what you need to know. What does fear do? Fear paralyzes. It makes us stay away. It causes us to run. And it causes us to hide. When we have a spirit of fear, or you just think about a startledness, right? You think about the snake jumping out or something jumping out and scaring you. Okay, for a moment you can't do anything because you're in a temporary, your body's trying to decide, it's releasing the adrenaline chemical that allows us to have that fight or flight mentality. And so all that's coming over us at one point in time, and if we get too much of it, we can have what's called a panic attack. But if we have some of it that just causes us to not know what to do in that moment, that means it's paralyzed us just for a moment. We don't know how to respond. You see, Satan wants you to be paralyzed when it comes to following God. He wants you to freeze and stay away and not be able to move any closer to him. He wants us to stay away. He wants us to run from, not to. And he wants us to hide. I invite you to turn with me to 1 Samuel 13, please. 1 Samuel 13, I love the Old Testament. I was trying to just briefly explain to one who is really embarking on their journey in Bible study. And this fairly new follower of Christ did not grow up in the church and did not have a lot of knowledge about the Bible stories that we all learned. And so starting in the beginning, they've just really grasped Adam and Eve and the fall of man. And so I explained to them from, here's what you need to know. You understand that very well because that's the first Adam, but then understand Jesus very well. And then understand everything in between gets us from that point to that point. Right? From the first Adam to the last Adam. From death coming into the world to eternal life coming into the world. But in between there is what? The Old Testament. And the Old Testament, even though we're not bound by it, there's so many things that point us to Jesus and point us to God and bring us back. And right here in 1 Samuel, we have some great stories and stories that we can relate to. And so let's dive into it. 1 Samuel 13, beginning in verse 5. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel. Now, you understand from school and everything else that there's always a war that wants to conquer, right? There are wars going on in the world today. And what are those countries that have invaded and caused the fight want to do? They want to take over. They want to conquer. Well, what did Philistia want to do? They wanted to conquer. They wanted to rule the world, so to speak, and Israel's in their way. And so they get their people together, and they're getting ready to fight with Israel. Now, who is Israel? Israel's God's chosen people. Israel are the 12 sons of Jacob, became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus Christ came through that line of Judah. And so He is ready. He's getting ready to point them in that direction. But listen to how Israel, listen to how they respond. First of all, this is who invades. 30,000 chariots. 6,000 horsemen. People as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. This is Philistia now. These are the Philistines. And they came up, the Philistines, and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth Avon. When the men of Israel saw, okay, listen to that. Here's what they saw, first of all. Let's pause there. They saw 30,000 chariots. They saw 6,000 warriors on horseback. And they saw an army as many in that army, in their eyes, as there was sand on the seashore. So you know what they saw? They saw all that, and then what did they realize? That they were in danger. For the people were distressed. Then the people decided, hey, let's get together and fight these because God is on our side, right? No, they had a spirit of fear. And so what did they do? They hid in caves. They hid in thickets. They hid in rocks. They hid in holes. And they hid in pits. Verse 7. And some of the Hebrews, Terry's words added now, were so afraid, had such a spirit of fear, God's words, they crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, their king, their leader, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. See, Israel's army, Israel's people, and I believe even Israel's leader had a spirit of fear. Here is this mighty army that has gathered together to conquer us. And so they looked up and the first thing they saw were 30,000 chariots. Now, they couldn't count. They didn't have somebody just sit there and count the 30,000. They just saw a lot. Way more than they had. Maybe one chariot was more than they had. And they saw all these soldiers on horseback. And then they've got a great army around them that they think is as many as the sand on the seashore. So they saw all that. And instead of having that just startledness and then coming back to their senses and saying, we can do this, they scattered. They said, oh no, we're in danger. So what did they do? Fight or flight? They flew. They flew. They ran. They scattered. They hid themselves. Oh, if we just go in this cave right here, we'll be safe. Oh, if we just hide up in the hills, in the rocks, we'll be safe. Oh, let me get down in this thicket. I don't care, there's thorns in here. I don't want to die today. So I'm going to hide. And so they allowed that spirit of fear to do that. And then some of them said, forget that. I'm going over to their side. I'm going to fight with them. I'm going to, man, they're the winners. They're the ones going to win. I'm going to give up on this. Folks, listen, we will all face battles in this life. Cody's prayer was such a powerful prayer, and I appreciate Cody, and I appreciate his mind, and I appreciate his heart. But he mentioned in that prayer Susan Thomas. You think she's not going through a battle right now? She has beat it once, but it's back. Tomorrow, she's got to go and sit in a chair, and they're going to inject poison, chemotherapy, into her body. I sat down at her table this morning after I got done teaching class, and I just said, "Susan, I'm so sorry." She said, "Hey, it is what it is." She didn't hide. She doesn't have a spirit of fear. Listen, when they gave the news to Johnny and Alicia, does that startle you? Absolutely. But Johnny, he's not going to go hide from it. He's got to battle and he's got to face it. What are we going to do? You see, all of us, if we haven't already, are going to face that Gethsemane or Golgotha. What are we going to do? How are we going to face it? Are we going to hide? These are the people of God, the children of God. Jesus Christ is going to come from these people. And they're hiding. God is their supreme ruler. And they're hiding. What are we going to do? When Satan throws, and by the way, disease did not come from God. Cancer did not come from God. It came because of the result of sin entering this world and this world being cursed. Because all good and perfect gifts come from above. When we're faced with disease and we're faced with whatever Satan throws our way, death, loss of job, the spouse saying, "I don't love you anymore," whatever it may be, are we going to have a spirit of fear? If we have, well, it's time to face those fears. It's time to stop running. It's time to move forward towards the one who calmed every sea and storm that he was part of in the Bible. We got to quit hiding. And we got to break the chains of fear. One of my favorite stories to tell, and I've told it a lot of times, whether here or at Mobile Christian or with our football team or somebody, is this. When Jesus walked on the water to the disciples, what a moment, right? Anybody that claims to be with the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit today, just challenge them to walk on water. See how that goes for them. But Jesus did, because He is God and He has all this power and the Spirit is in Him and He's walking on water. And you remember at first they were afraid and He calmed them down. He said, "No, it's not a ghost, it's Me." Peter says, "If it is You, Lord, let me get out of this boat and walk to You." He said, "Come on." He didn't say, "Peter, shut your mouth. Peter, hush. You speak up too much. Just stay in the boat. I'm coming to you." He said, "Come on." So Peter gets out of that boat. By the way, we beat him up, but the rest didn't. Peter had the guts to do it. Can you imagine, though, when he got out of that boat, he probably had to stick at least one toe down there. And he thought, pretty solid. Then maybe the foot. Then he gets out and he's like, "Wow, this is amazing. I am standing on water. I am standing on this water." And then all of a sudden he takes his eyes off Jesus and he sees these waves and this wind and whoa. And then he starts to sink. And now he's scared because he's drowning. You know what Peter's biggest obstacle was at that moment? It wasn't his sick mother-in-law at home. It wasn't that he didn't catch any fish and how are we going to pay our bills. It wasn't any of those fears, because this one went to the top. His biggest fear was drowning in that water. His biggest obstacle was the water. And guess what? Jesus Christ was standing on the water. What is your biggest fear today? Whatever it is, Jesus Christ is standing on top of it. What happens when we have a spirit of fear? We make excuses. Our new football coach at Mobile Christian is named Charles Lawson. And as a defensive coordinator, the last 3 or 4 years that he's been that, he would always break down our... We gather up after we get done doing our pregame, before we break into our individual groups, and he will break them down, and he says, no excuses on three. And they'd say, 1, 2, 3, no excuses. Because as a coach, you get tired of somebody coming up, and you say, why didn't you do this? And, oh, because of this and this and this. No excuses. You shouldn't have had any excuse. You should have watched the film. You should have known. You should have been, blah, 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 right? I can imagine God circling up the church. And I know this is silly, but saying, hey, we're about to get a breakdown right here. No excuses on three. Because with God, there should never be an excuse. Oh, somebody hurt my feelings, and so I have this fear, and I'm going to stay away. I said this in Bible class, and I've said it here many times. If I would have left the church the first time somebody hurt my feelings, I would have left a long time ago. Hey, I don't like the preacher or the youth minister or the family minister or the associate minister, fill in the blank. I don't like them. The elders did something I don't like. Oh, the work week. Oh, man, it's been a tough week. I'm tired today. It's Sunday fun day. There's just a lot going on. Excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse because you gave in to a spirit of fear. Because you quit understanding and appreciating the awe, the awesomeness of God. We've quit beholding who He is because we've given in to some kind of fear, some kind of excuse, and now we're staying away. Maybe the real reason that I have quit God is I just don't want to be a part of He and His family anymore. But I'm just going to hide behind the excuses. If you think that's a new concept, you would be mistaken. Hey, Moses, from the burning bush, I want you to go before Pharaoh and tell him to let the I Am's people go. Moses came up with excuse after excuse, after excuse, after excuse. 4 times Moses came up with an excuse. But it boiled down to Exodus 5:13. Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. In other words, God, I know I've asked who will send me, how will they believe me, what's your name, all these things. I've asked, I've made up all these excuses. But here's what it boils down to, God. I just am afraid to go and do it. Please send somebody else. How often are we going to hide behind the chain of excuses? You know what else fear makes us do? It makes us wear a mask sometimes. Sometimes we walk around and we've got all these things we're afraid of inside and we're carrying this spirit of fear, and sometimes we just put a mask on because we do not want to reveal what's really going on. You know, in Shakespeare's day, told this before, you'll remember, they had a role for a female in the play. And you know, females did not have a lot of authority and rights back then. Again, it's just unfortunate that's the way it was. And so they would have a man. You know, today there would be really bizarre and weird things that happen for this. But back then, a man was a man and a woman was a woman. And so this part would come up, and so they would have a man play the female part, but they'd hold up a mask that looked like a female, but the man would be speaking. You know what they called those people? Hypocrites. They were called hypocrites because it was literally somebody being one thing, wearing a mask to hide the other thing or to hide that same thing. You know, sometimes we wear masks. Sometimes we're hypocrites. Sometimes we can come to worship, we can sing the words, we can smile, but we're just caught up in the motions. You see, all of these acts are just a mask because maybe I am masking or hiding something that's going on in my heart. Satan wants you to wear that mask. He wants you to live in fear. We wear the mask because we're afraid for somebody to hear what's going on, or maybe the struggles I've done or the sins I've committed, and we wear that mask because we're trying to hide it. We're faking it till we make it, so to speak. But this is God we're talking about. We cannot hide from God. And so today, I don't want the mask to stay on. More importantly, God doesn't want the mask to stay on. If there's something we've got to get rid of today, we've got to get rid of it. And we've got to let fear quit paralyzing us. Sometimes we wear camouflage. Our hunters will know about camouflage. Why do you do that? Why do you mask your scent? Why do you watch the wind and check all these things so the deer will not know you're there? So the deer can't see. So the deer can't smell. So the wind doesn't put your scent where the deer is. But as Christians, sometimes we camouflage ourselves when we're afraid. What did Adam and Eve do? Whoa, Eve, you are naked. Wow, Adam, you are too. So what do? Oh, I hear God coming. Let's hide. So they went to the trees, right? And they blended in with the trees. Because they were ashamed, they camouflaged themselves. Hey, God won't see us in here. But of course, God knew exactly what they had done. Sometimes as Christians, we try to blend in with the world, perhaps, because we're hiding. Because we're too afraid to let our light shine. At work or school, how are we? You know, when we were talking about characteristics of God, we talked about character one day, and it wasn't the characteristic, but somebody brought up character. I believe it was Danny Irwin, and Danny made the point that we've got to have that character, because character is who we are when nobody's watching. So, sometimes our character because of a spirit of fear is camouflaged. Maybe I go to school. I want to be in the cool crowd, you know? I mean, I don't care what school you are. There's a crowd that's not what people think are cool, and there's a crowd that people think are cool. I mean, it doesn't matter if you go to public school or private school. It's the same way. But if you go to a Christian school, sometimes it's the Christians who people look at as uncool. My daughter was sitting in Bible class, and the teacher, the Bible class teacher, and I'm very proud of this, he said, they were talking about alcohol, he said, I've never drank any alcohol. Well, my daughter, very proudly, and I was proud of her, she spoke up, she said, my mom and dad have never drank alcohol. There's a little girl sitting in front of her said, no way. She said, yeah. Madeline said, yeah, there is. She said, there's no way your mom and dad have never drank alcohol. You see, in their minds, it's just part of it. You know, and there may come a point in time when my kids don't go to a certain this or certain that because they're not going to wear any camouflage. But they may be categorized as the uncool crowd. You see, sometimes we're afraid of that, right? At work or at school or in the public. And so, guess what? This person's saying this and talking like this and telling these jokes and laughing and cussing and doing all this stuff. I'm going to blend in with them. You see, that's camouflage. That's having a spirit of fear. Not having the guts to stand up. Matthew 5:16, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hide it under a bushel? No! We got to let it shine. You know what else happens when we carry a spirit of fear? We ultimately carry a lot of baggage. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 20 through 23, I'm just going to recap here. Saul has been elected to be king of united Israel. Now Saul was taller and stood out because he's taller than anybody around. He's a big man. But you know what he was doing when they went to find him? He was hiding in the baggage. My question to us today, are we hiding in our baggage? Are we allowing our sins and fears, spirit of fears, to weigh us down? To paralyze us, to cause us to run, to cause us to hide, to wear a mask, to be camouflaged. Are we hiding behind that? If we are, please hear these words, not mine, but the Hebrew writer said this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares or traps us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In verse 1, the Hebrew writer said of chapter 12, he said, get rid of the baggage, the weight. Get rid of it. You know why? Baggage weighs us down and we give in to fear. Justin and I told the story of the lady who went to the hospital. Remember that story? She went to a hospital because she was sick. And nobody checked on her. She's sitting in a hospital, the place to get help, and nobody checked on her, and she fell out, and she died at the very place she went to get help. Today, if you've got baggage, this is the place to get help. You know, we wear our ties and we wear our dresses and we dress up, and we should, because it's God, right? I get it. But at the end of the day, do not let that fool you. Inside all of that, sometimes we've got some serious sin going on. We've got some serious weight that is weighing us down. But Satan's sitting there saying, do not walk forward. Do not tell those elders. Do not tell that preacher. People are going to look at you. People are going to talk about you. People are not going to accept you. They're going to reject you. That is Satan, not God. God's longing for you to come home, to get rid of the sin, the baggage. But sometimes we get in a rut. Probably should have been a two-part sermon, but bear with me. You ever been stuck in a rut? I mean, like really, literally? You know, sometimes you get in some loose ground, and you start revving it up, right? And then those tires spin and spin and spin and spin, and you get in a rut, and now you can't get out. Well, because of a spirit of fear sometimes, that's what happens with us. One of my favorite stories, and I do need to read it, is found in 1 Samuel 14, beginning in verse 11. Read it with me. This is about Jonathan and his armor bearer. Who was Jonathan, son of King Saul. Son of King Saul. Probably would have been a great king, but his daddy blew it. Who's his armor bearer? Exactly who that is, the guy who bears his armor. Verse 11, let's pick up there. So both, that's Jonathan and his armor bearer, of them showed themselves in the garrison of the Philistines. The Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us. We'll show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they, that's the Philistines, fell before Jonathan. And as they came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. Two of them killed 20. And there was trembling in the camp. That's the Philistines' camp now. In the field and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. Now that is a happy ending of what we read about at the beginning of this. But hear me out. You need to know what happened in between. You know they went and hid, they being Israel, went and hid in caves and rocks and thickets and stuff. Some crossed over. Well, you got King Saul. Again, this man stood out, right? He stood out above everybody. He's tall. He's a warrior. He's this great man. He's the king. You know what he's doing? He's sitting under a pomegranate tree. Looks to me like he's pouting. You're like, what's going on? You know, why me? Instead of leading the charge, like, let's go, he's like, why me? Again, I'm reading that into it, but that's kind of the way I see it. And Jonathan said, enough of this junk. He said, nobody else to fight? Hey, you and me, by the way, the poor old armor bearer is like, he just got drafted, you know? Because Jonathan had the attitude of, let's go. Let's do this. Now, what you need to know is Israel was on one cliff, and Philistia was on another. So in order for Jonathan and his armor bearer to do this, they had to come down off the peak and and get down in the valley. Then they had to climb out of the valley just to get to the fight. Can you imagine there being a time when Jonathan, again, I don't know that this happened, but they're climbing, right? They're climbing. Can you imagine maybe Jonathan slips one moment? Or maybe the armor bearer slips one moment and Jonathan says to him, or the armor bearer says to him, hey, get on my back, I'll carry you the rest of the way. But we've got to do this, we've got to fight. They didn't allow the valley or the rut or the enemy or fear hold them back. See, today, you may be in the valley. You may be in the rut. You may be stuck because fear and Satan have you that way. But today is the day to climb out. And if you can't do it alone, get on my back. Get on the elder's back. Get on the person in your pew's back. And we're going to help you climb to victory. But it leads me to one more point. When you put all this together, we get back to where we started. We got to get out of the caves. David in 1 Samuel 22, remember what they did early on, right? When the Philistines came in, the 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, soldiers as far as the sand on the seashore, they hid in caves. That was a big thing, right? David in 1 Samuel 22, he hid from Saul. Where? In a cave. Why? Because he feared being killed. In a sense, the cave and the threat had David trapped. The cave, because if I come out of this cave, I'm in danger because of the threat. The threat of the enemy, who should have been his friend, and at times he was. But the jealousy and the envy, he wanted to kill David. And because of that, David was entrapped in a cave. And perhaps there were times he felt like there was no escape. Sometimes, because of sin, because of fear, we feel trapped. Or maybe we just run to the cave. You know what's in the cave, though? No way out. No light. No other opening. 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul wrote this, no temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Today, your caves that you feel trapped in, there's a secret exit. There's a secret exit on the other side. And the other side is not the enemy, but it's the Creator. It's God Almighty. Today, it's time to come out of the cave. It's time to get out of the fear. In 1 Samuel 13:20, verse 22, Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. because it has pleased the Lord to make you His people. Paul, in writing to Timothy, Timothy had a big challenge. He was about to go to all these churches, help them with evangelism, help them set up elders and deacons if they had the men that were capable and met the qualifications. And he's got a job to preach the truth even when people have itching ears to hear the story, the fable. And I believe Timothy was a little bit apprehensive. And I'm not going to beat him up for that. I think he was afraid. But Paul, through the Holy Spirit, said this, listen, Timothy, who he loved Timothy. Timothy was like a son. He says, Timothy, God's not given you a spirit of fear. Church, I love you, but God's not given you a spirit of fear. If you've been hiding, if you've been afraid, if you've stayed away, it's time to cast all that out. It's time to come home. Let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.